You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Mark Edward Harris is an award-winning photographer. He's traveled the world compiling photographic portraits of daily life in places few outsiders see. He's particularly interested in places of political tension and conflict. He's been to the former Soviet Union, East Germany, Vietnam, Cuba, Lebanon, Israel, Ireland and Northern Ireland, and North and South Korea. He says he is always surprised by what he sees and experiences. Last time we spoke, we talked about the work he did in North Korea, culminating in the book Inside North Korea. Today, he joins me to talk about a new book. It's about Iran. The title, Inside Iran. The publisher is Chronicle. Mark Harris, it's good to speak with you again. How are you?
Celeste, great to hear your voice again. Things are going well, and it's amazing, you know, to watch the news and see how things have transpired in North Korea since the last time we spoke, and now, you know, with Iran, and they're both still in the headlines and going different directions, it looks like, at this point.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about the U.S. and Iran now making some overtures to improve relations?
I think it's an excellent idea, and even if you just look at it from a realpolitik point of view, that we could use a partner in the region. I mean, this is stepping forward a bit much, maybe, but with the instability in Afghanistan, and I think the most explosive of problems in Pakistan, we have a very big, large mutual interest with Iran in stabilizing. In fact, it's interesting if one looks at the map, they see that Afghanistan and Pakistan are both neighbors to Iran, and so I think this is a very smart move to try for engagement with them, and see if we could move forward.
Hmm. What are your thoughts about the arrest, conviction, and imprisonment of Iranian American journalist Roxana Saberi, though?
Well, there's definitely issues, obviously, going on. I mean, one could question if that might be in partial response to what's going on, you know, with the Iranians being held in Iraq, you know, on charges of, you know, spying or instigating, you know, problems there. You know, we could look at the same thing with the North Koreans, you know, holding the two journalists there, you know, when they crossed over into the North Korea, the Tumen River area on the China-North Korea border, that one has to sometimes wonder if they're being used as bargaining chips. The idea of somebody being held for you know, being sentenced to 8 years is obviously a very serious thing. It will be interesting to see how that pans out. I mean, we're obviously, we have major issues between Iran and the United States, obviously, and you know, obviously the potential nuclear proliferation, you know, is on the top. And when you have Ahmadinejad, you know, always, you know, when it goes to the UN and goes on about Israel, he obviously is. I think he does an incredible disservice to his country. And what's interesting is people openly engaged when I was going around the country in political conversation, and many questioned why did he have so much interest in that particular subject when there's so many other subjects and things to be engaged in, and did not feel in a similar mindset at all in terms of in relation to Israel.
I mentioned in my introduction that when you travel and you get out there and meet people and take photographs, that you're always surprised by what you see and experience. And beginning with the book's jacket and continuing through Inside Iran, there are a lot of surprises.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, definitely, and I appreciate you pointing that out. I think what happens is we generally, when we see you know, in the New York Times, you know, a shot some young people being paraded through the streets of Tehran because they had their hair a bit too long, or you know, wearing too tight a t-shirt, and that's for the guys. Obviously, the women have to have their hair covered with the hijabs and all that. I think we lose sight of the daily life and the reality. It would be like you know, just taking a minute, you know, section of something in the U.S. and just always, you know, showing that. It's a very dynamic and diverse society. And I think the opportunity to travel, you know, up to the Caspian Sea and then down to into the Persian Gulf to the island of Kish and to the Afghan border and then to the border with Iraq, the diversity, it's similar to the U.S. in that sense. I mean, it would be like, you know, going from Alaska to Florida to Maine to California and then with stops in between. That's how it is there. Though there are obviously... you know, some very common denominators and things that it's important for us to keep in mind in terms of, you know, the, you know, 90% of the people are Shia, and then most of their neighbors are, you know, well, Iran is actually mostly, I mean, Iraq rather is mostly Shia as well, but all the tensions that go on with that. But I did see, like, the daily life where like, the little girl on the cover, as you mentioned that shot, you know, is wearing jeans with little Mickey Mouse characters on it, while her mother's shopping in the background, you know, wearing a what we tend to think here is a burqa sort of outfit. And then there's a shot in the town of Shiraz where a young man's wearing a T-shirt saying CIA on it, and another where a woman's wearing a USA-flagged hat,
yeah,
you know, on top of her hijab. So. You just don't expect to. I mean, that is something that I was completely surprised about, to see that, how people, you know, express themselves through clothing, and it was not just this monochromatic, vision that I thought I might be entering into.
Yeah, and it was fun to see advertisements for something that here we might buy. A frosty coffee drink at Starbucks with lots of whipped cream
right.
on the top, and
that's
then
funny.
and also the Golden Arches are there. I mean,
yeah.
The Mos Burger has actually taken that arch logo.
Or did McDonald's take the Mos Burger?
Could
logo?
Be. I don't know.
No, but it's not. I would. One would.
Yeah.
You could safely assume that it was right that they did. But it's interesting. That first of all, that they did that, and that's in the Caspian Sea area, that they would do that, and there was no problem at all. In fact, what's interesting, the Caspian is a resort for Iranians getting out of mostly from Tehran, and they also have pizza parlors all over the place, and so that type of thing, you know, where you see families around, you know, having I wouldn't necessarily say I saw any buffalo chicken wings or whatever, but I did, but definitely lots of you know, pizza and you know, things that we just we typically don't associate with Iran. Mm. You know, that lifestyle, and also up at the Caspian Sea, there are a number of women, you know, doing kayaking.
Yeah.
You know, and they were not shy at all to. Engage me in, you know, conversation and show that they could, you know, flip over the kayak and do all the sort of things. I mean, I think that's another thing, you know, when you think of, you know, that region, there's, you know, so much diversity within the region as well. I mean, you would never see something like that, or I would never be approached, let's say, in Saudi Arabia by women there, or I would say in probably major parts of Afghanistan, especially now.
Yeah. Well, talk with us a little bit about Tehran. What is this big city like? When and how does it wake up? And what's it like at midday? And what's it like at night?
What's interesting is you do see a lot of propaganda, just like with the murals on the side of the former U.S. embassy there, you know, the anti-American rhetoric. And you see that throughout the city. But people really seem to just walk by it and ignore it. You have large groups of school kids going off to field trips to see the beautiful architecture and the museums there, and obviously there's a great wealth of you know, history, you know, from the Persian Empire, and so So you see large groups of school kids all over the place on a typical weekday. It can be very smoggy, but that just depends on the time of year. But there's a real hustle and bustle. You know, they do have a metro system there. People in cars vying in and out, and you do feel a real energy. You know, people at tea houses, coffee shops, that sort of thing. You know, out on the street, engaging in conversation. There's not a heavy mood at all on the street. Though it is interesting, I did make some friends with some young college students in Isfahan, and they were talking about their experience in Tehran. They were on vacation in Isfahan, and you know, they were saying that if they let their hijab slip back a bit too much, or not even letting it slip back, but they want to, you know, expose a little more hair, that there are religious police, in the sense you could call them, that will scold them and tell them to, you know, pull the hijabs forward and not reveal hair. Or if they're mantos, which are basically, you know, the French word for jacket, if those are a bit too tight that are revealing any sort of figure, that they'll be reprimanded. So there are those very real issues. But you do feel a push and pull. And mm-hmm. I would say most Tehranians, people in Tehran, are much more open to, you know, the Western dress and engagement and that sort of thing.
One of the photos that I'm thinking about right now features a headscarf or headscarves on the heads of two mannequins.
Yeah.
And the mannequins are all dolled up.
Except, oh, they are.
Except, you know, they don't have hair, but if they did, it would be covered up completely.
That's right. That's right. But and in that shot, which was in Kerman, does show a little bit of individualism, where you can choose either a black or a brown hijab to wear. But the thing is, in terms of being dolled up, Tehran is known as the nose job capital of the world.
Yeah.
And you know, rhinoplasty, and but also every ounce of skin that can be revealed does tend to be made up, and that means, you know, real strong makeup and very well done. You'll see the shoes are very stylish, and then when the people are home and in private residences or whatever, wherever they can reveal more clothing, you see some incredible you know, style underneath. In fact, if you go to a shopping mall there, you'll see all these great you know, clothing brands, and you wonder, well, who's buying it? But obviously, you know, somebody is, and they're wearing them under, you know, the outer clothing. And it probably is mostly for the consumption of other women, you know, since the men really don't have privy to see that.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of my high school days. I wore a uniform. We wore uniforms to school. The boys wore white shirts and a tie, and the girls had uniforms with a blazer and a skirt. But within that restricted choice of clothing, there's still lots of choices you can make.
Well, that's exactly it. And so you really see them go to town, so to speak, with those choices that they can make. And there really is a sense of, you know, style over there. And you do see that. What's interesting is if you go to Mashhad, toward the Afghan border, which is one of the most religious cities there, it's a very conservative dress. And we were actually, I was traveling with a friend of mine from Denmark, and we were able to actually go bowling together on the island of Kish, where they sort of let their hair down a little bit more, so to speak. But then when we were in Mashhad, she was denied access to the bowling alley. It's simply that women aren't allowed in here.
Mm. Were you able to get a sense of what Iranians hope for the future? This gets back to the front cover,
sure.
I think, for the future of their children and their country.
Well, definitely they would love to have good relations. I mean, I obviously can't speak for every Iranian, as nobody here could speak for every American. But definitely there was nothing but courtesy and openness and engagement, wanting to be friendly with the U.S. There was a real concern at the time that I was doing the book. They were very concerned with President Bush and this axis of evil speech and the rhetoric going on at that time. They were very, very concerned of the potential of being attacked. I have been to the Middle East after President Obama was elected, and but not back to Iran since then. But in the Middle East in general, there was a very positive feeling. People were very excited about the possibilities of moving forward with engagement, and I would think that Iran would be the same. Though you do see now, and maybe this gets back to the journalist being put, you know, being sentenced, is that there might be this testing going on right now to see what can go on, what can you know, what can be gotten away with, you know, where do we stand on things. So I think that's an interesting period. And I also think that, you know, with the elections coming up in June, it will be interesting to see what happens with Ahmadinejad. Yeah.
We've got to wrap up here. One last question. Where are you going next? Where will we go inside with you?
Well, I appreciate it. Well, I was sort of hoping maybe for Obama's State of Union speech, he could name Tahiti as a new axis of evil. So we'll change the pace. But actually, I think I'm going to do a second edition of my book on a very different book on Japanese hot springs, which is very, very important and very real aspect to Japanese culture.
Okay.
And so I think I'm going to dive back into that, if you don't mind.
Well, I hope to talk with you again then when that book comes out.
I would love that, Celeste. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Mark Edward Harris, his latest book is about Iran, the title Inside Iran. Mark Edward Harris is an award-winning photographer. The book Inside Iran, published by Chronicle.